Lord, and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. And a part of these verses that the Lord has been making real to me is especially the first verse, trust in the Lord and do good. And then dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I tend to be a real idealistic person, and at the same time, I tend to be pessimistic too. And so what I end up doing is I have goals that are too high for me or go for things that are beyond what I think the Lord has for me, and then I get kind of distraught, you know what I mean? And what the Lord has been teaching me is that all he wants me to be is his person in the place that he has chosen for me, and that's just ordinary, everyday, routine life, just donk, 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 you know? It doesn't get exciting too many times, does it? I mean, it's just, sometimes it's just, I can tell you identify because you're smiling. But that's where the Lord wants us to be. He wants us to be ordinary, weak people through whom he can shine forth in all of his glory. Because if anything good comes out of my life, it's because of Christ in me. And I can't take any of the credit. It's because of him and his strength alone. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like you and me who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people that will give them all, no matter how small your all may seem to you. Because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. Just like you and me who are willing to do as he commands. God uses people that will give him all. No matter how small your all may seem to you. Because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Oh, just like that little lad who gave Jesus all he had, how the multitude were fed with the fish and loaves of bread. Well, it might not seem like much, but when you yield it to the touch of the Master's loving hand, then you will understand how your life could never be the same. Just ordinary people. God uses ordinary people. He chooses people just like you and me who are willing to do as he commands. God chooses people. people that will give him all. No matter how small your all may seem to you, because little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Oh, your little becomes much as you place it in the Master's hand. Amen. Bless the Lord. That's true.
Next Sunday, we have a very wonderful opportunity and unusual in our church. We have a young man who's going to fill the pulpit next Sunday. And I hope that each of you will be here and you will tell your friends and you will be prayerful for the service. Brother Steve Feehan will be speaking next Sunday, and I want to encourage you to come and hear him and to be present in the service. It'll bless you. He is planning to go to the seminary very shortly, and we want to give him all the support we can. And then on Father's Day, which will follow the following Sunday, we have a very important day ahead of us on Father's Day. I want to encourage you to be present. We'll have some wonderful information for you on that Sunday. And I hope that you will be here on Father's Day. How to handle your failures. I had a robin in my backyard all spring. The nest was built in a wonderful location. It was a second floor condominium. It required 3 days to build. And then it required a whole week to move the furniture in. 3 beautiful blue eggs. Mother Robin faithfully took her place. It was cold some days. It was rainy other days. But faithfully for 3 long weeks, she was on a job. At the end of 3 weeks, one morning, everyone was expecting new life. We had our field glasses and everything ready just outside the window to see this glorious event. But very early in the morning, I noticed there was uneasiness. And Mother Robin was pecking some loose pieces of straw and placing them on the eggs. She then left the nest. She has never returned. The eggs did not hatch. She has returned to the backyard a number of times. And as I have thought about it, she probably is contemplating next year. But for this year, she says, I'm a failure. High school graduation, college graduation, everyone talks to you about goals. But today, I want to use what Jesus said to his disciples. Not everyone is going to succeed in everything he undertakes. In Matthew 10, 1-14 is one of the best commencement sermons anywhere in the Bible. Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to send you out to heal, send you out to minister, I'm going to send you out to work. And as you go, some people will not hear you. Some people will not respond to you. What are you going to do when you fail? You'll never learn how to handle your failures if you think your failures And if you think your failures are final. One of the greatest men in this country started out in business, failed. He went in another venture, he failed. He finally studied some law. And finally, after several chances, he made it to the House of Representatives. His enemies laughed at him. He had to borrow a coat that he would look respectable when he went up to take his seat. Failure, yes. But Abraham Lincoln knew how to handle failures. Jesus said, when you come to a house and salute it, he says, if it is worthy of your peace, let your blessings be upon it. If they will not receive you, depart from that house, shake the dust of your feet off, go on your way. I think Dean Olives, the Episcopal Church minister in Atlanta, Georgia, told a story. He was brought up in England. He used to go out and catch sparrows, and his mother made sparrow pie. He said he always went to the cemetery where he could catch them easy in the vines while they were asleep at night. He said it would take about 24 sparrows to make a pie. And so this evening he went. And inadvertently did not see the new grave and slipped into it. He tried to get out, but he couldn't. He failed. So he says, he just sat down, said, I'll wait for the morning to come. Later on in the evening, he heard someone come whistling through the cemetery, as people will do when they go through a place like that. And he recognized it to be the voice of Charlie, his closest friend. Charlie was looking for sparrows also. And Charlie worked along the vines, hunting for the sparrows, and sure enough, he slipped into the same grave. Well, his first impression was to ask Charlie to help him get out, but he, being older, said, no, I'll sit and wait and see what happens. And so Charlie made his efforts at getting out, and he just couldn't make it. And so Charlie was about to take his place in the other end. And as he was being seated, Olive said to him, can't you let a man enjoy his own grave in peace. And it was electrified. And Charlie made it out over the grave. Where he had failed before, but he made it this time. Now, I've heard that story in different veins, but it illustrates to me the power of failure and what we can do with it. And Jesus came to his disciples, and he said, "Now you're simply going to go out for me. And let my peace and your peace be upon the house that receives you. But some of them will not. Shake the dust off your feet. Go on your way." Dr. Ted Adams, for a long time pastor of the First Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia, said that he remembered his first church. He went out to pastor after he left the seminary. He could never forget it, he said. There was one family in the church that didn't like him. And he said, furthermore, they didn't like anything that he had a part in doing in the church. And another thing, he says, they didn't like what he didn't do. And he said, they just didn't like me. Well, he says, I tried everything I knew how to win that family and how to get in their good graces. But he said, I never did. They left the church and went off somewhere. But he said, out of that failure, I had to go on. And literally what he had to do was what Jesus said here. Shake the dust off your feet. Go on to the next job. Many preachers, all of us, we feel that we fail at times. We do not always succeed. But what Jesus is saying, simply do not get hot and bothered. Keep your cool. That's what people say today. Shake the dust off your feet. You have other work to do. Well, if any preacher sits around and worries about what somebody says about him, he'll never do much. He'll never go very far. If every little criticism and every little failure he makes is going to disrupt him along the way, he's already defeated. Jesus wanted to preach one time in a Samaritan village. And the people simply didn't want him to preach there. They said, we don't want you. And you know what the disciples said? The disciples said to him, Lord, call down fire out of heaven upon this city and just destroy these people like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what Jesus' reply was? Let us go on to the next village. There is a story told about the yearling by Marjorie Rawlings. The little boy found a thorn, and finally it developed into a beautiful deer. They were pals, Jody and his deer. Until at last, full grown, the deer became very destructive. He'd go in the garden, eat things, destroy things. They built a fence, and the deer would leap over the fence. So finally the father said, we're going to have to carry the deer far away. And Jody was disturbed. And his father explained to him, life is like that. You will have disappointments. You must learn early that some things will go wrong, and some things in life will just simply smack you down. When that happens, what do you do? For one thing, you recognize that the good Lord gives you good sense enough to get up and start again. For another thing, you begin to sit down and say, why did I fail? If I'm honest enough, I may not have worked hard enough. Or I made the wrong decision. When those disciples came to Jesus and said to Jesus, why, here's a young boy, we cannot heal him. We failed. And Jesus said, this can only come to pass by prayer and fasting. That's why you failed. And there's another thing about this. Sometimes when we fail, we have a tendency to say, I'll quit. I'll quit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Thomas Edison is a wonderful illustration of that. He worked on the light bulb. Month after month, week after week, year after year, and failure after failure. One of his friends said to him, you failed, haven't you? He said, no, I haven't failed. I just found out 200 things that will not work. And I have to find the right thing that will work. And he continued on. And we have the light bulbs today because of that. So Jesus said to these disciples, you're going out and work, but people will turn against you. They'll not hear you. They'll not listen to you. And you'll fail. A preacher on his way home one day said, I believe I'll stop at a few homes around the building. See if I can't find some new people. Invite them to church. And so he went up to this door, knocked on the door. The man answered the door. He said to him, I'd like to come in and talk to you a minute. And the man said, I haven't got time. So the man of God said to him, may God's peace be upon this house. Turned, and as he turned, the man slammed the door. He walked away. He was a failure. 3 or 4 days after that, he got a telephone call. And someone on the other end of the line says, I'm the man that slammed the door in your face. And I told you there was no peace in this house. I would like to invite you to come by my home. And if you know about peace, I want you to tell us about it. Failure? Oh, no. Even though he failed, he succeeded. Sometimes failure is going to come to you. It tests what you really are. It's just like when you're going out in life, it's like a pitcher warming up before a game. A pitcher, that's part of the necessary program for a pitcher. It's to warm up before the game. Get ready for it. Now, when you get ready for life and to meet these failures and these things that come before you, you need to warm up with prayer. You need to be ready. As Jesus told his disciples, these disappointments may not be really failures. Old Whistler wanted to be a soldier, went out to West Point, flunked out, failed. But he took up painting, became a famous artist. Maybe I've failed in the final drive when sinew, nerve, and heart had lost the urge and the will to strive, and I played the loser's part. But down on my trembling knees I fall, though others may look askance, to say a prayer to the Lord of all, the God of another chance. Those who have drunk from the bitter cup and tasted the dregs of defeat may win again if they be lifted up and placed at the mercy seat. In London, in the British Museum, there is a diary. It's the diary of a man who went to the South Pole. He had three other men to go with him. They wanted to be first. But when they got there to the South Pole, somebody else had arrived earlier. They had failed to be first. They could only plant their flag and turn to go back to their base. The diary reads, "We went on our way and the storm engulfed us. One of our men had frostbitten feet, could not walk. We had to throw away food and items we needed so that we could put him on the sled and move him along with us. We met a terrific snowstorm. We tented. We talked about it. And one day, this man with the bad feet said, 'I think I'll go out for a little walk.' And the man writing the diary said, 'We knew he'd never come back. He didn't intend to come back. He walked out with the idea that the other men, if the storm should abate, should have the opportunity to make it safely to their base station. But the thing about it in the diary is this: the storm did not let up, and each man wrote his final note to his family, and they all died." We say that's failure. But no, men and women travel for miles today to go to that museum and read of the caliber of men and get inspiration from their failure. We can learn from our failures. First of all, let our peace return to us. Get up, go on. Secondly, remember we are made by God for a purpose. There is nobody else in the world exactly like you are, young people, today. You are the only you. And you may fail, but remember, you can profit even by failure. And remember, it is not important the things you do all the time, but it's important about you. Jesus said, if you fail, shake the dust off your feet, get your peace, and keep moving. When Jesus was on the cross, men said, he's a failure. They said, why don't you come down from the cross? Why don't you save yourself and save the other thieves that are here? They said, he's a failure. The centurion standing on the ground looked up and said, this is the Son of God. He won. He will win the world, even through failure. Remember, in closing, you have a God who never fails. That's the thing I have to lean upon as a preacher. I have a God who never fails. Dr. Louis D. Newton left one day from Atlanta, Georgia, going to San Francisco by plane. He boarded the plane and was in flight. Many times I've talked to Dr. Newton. He's a great man. He's gone now to be with the Lord. But as they were going, he was seated beside the little woman who had a six-month-old baby. She began to talk. She said, "We're going to California to meet my husband's body. He died in the war." And something else. He never had the opportunity to see this child. So I'm carrying her along with me. I don't know, but I think somehow, some way, that he will know that we have come to meet his body. She unraveled her story, Dr. Newton says, and as they came in from that high altitude and were ready to drop through the clouds, they went down through the clouds and the folds of the clouds opened, and there was a beautiful rainbow that opened up before them as they went through. The woman in her tears said softly to him, "I never thought I'd see another rainbow. But God's promises never fail. His light always shines through the clouds. When you fail, let your peace return to you. Shake the dust off of your feet. You have a God who never fails." Let us pray.